Hey, I'm Bob Runkle, and for as long as I can remember, I've loved pop culture. Despite the challenges I've faced in my life, pop culture has always been there for me. I love talking to people and being a platform for others to share their thoughts, stories. Because if there's one thing I never get tired of, it's seeing driven, talented, and inspiring individuals follow their dreams, no matter what obstacles are in their way. And I know a thing or two about that. Welcome to the DJ Bob Show. I'm DJ Bob. Roll it. We're back with more coverage about the new Max series for children and families, Hop, from the creator of Arthur. Today, we are joined by the voice cast and the director of the series, Charlotte Diana Walker, David Connolly, and Bruce Simpson. We talk all about the ins and outs of the brand new series, diversity and inclusion within the world, and so much more in this beautiful, poignant, and fun conversation with these three talented individuals. Enjoy it. I love this show so much. Please stream it. Please support it so we can get more of it and more things like it. Enjoy. So let's go around the room here and kind of introduce ourselves and who we have and who your involvement in Hop.
Okay. I am Charlotte Diana Walker, and I am the voice of Philippa the Squirrel. She's a really great character. She's the planner of the Hoppers, and she has a writing drawing tool named Grape Lightning.
I love her so much, and we're going to talk all about her contributions to the Hop universe, because it is absolutely wonderful. Now, David, you've got quite the journey, and we'll get into that, but can we talk about your involvement in Hop and kind of who you are, your background a little bit?
Sure. Hi, Bob. It's so good to meet you. I'm a big fan of the show, so thank you for having us. I voice Hop, and like Hop, I have one leg that's longer than the other as a result of a double amputation that happened when I was a very little boy. And so I am thrilled to be bringing this kind of diversity to preschoolers and their families.
Well, like I've said before about this show, it is so needed. And you, all of you bring a unique approach to this landscape, because there wasn't much like it before, and this is such a unique thing that there probably won't be anything like it after it, and it's incredibly special. Now, Bruce, what is your involvement in this wonderful world of Hop?
Thanks, Bob. Oh, by the way, I've been binge watching or binge listening to your podcasts all week. I'm really enjoying them.
Thank you.
I had the great fortune of being offered to come on as director of the show, which I was really excited about, because there was a pilot episode that was made in order to get the show going, which was before my time. But many of the people that are working on the show worked on it. And as soon as I saw it, and it was just an animatic, which is like an animation term, just still black and white drawings with, you know, not even the final cast, just people filling in the places. And I was so excited to see the story. And I think it's one of the episodes that's now playing on HBO Max. And it's like, wow, this is so cool. This is a story I haven't heard before. Because I've been working in animation for forever. And usually if you're dealing with preschool shows, you have certain themes that pop up over and over again. And it's like, wow, this is like so cool. I don't want to give it away because that would be a spoiler alert fellow, but it features Charlotte in that episode. And it just, I watched it and it was like, this reminds me of myself. This reminds me of so many people I know. And I'm just really excited about this show. And I was brought on to be the director. I supervised the storyboards with another fellow, Alan Jeffrey, who's worked on Arthur for numerous years. We were fortunate enough to get him. I participated in the script writing sessions. I was just all over the show.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you were responsible for finding Charlotte here for the role of Philippa.
Yes.
Want to talk a bit about that?
Charlotte was, I taught at a school called Max the Mutt Animation and Design in Toronto, MTM. And I was teaching a summer camp for animation. And Charlotte was in one of my classes. And I taught a number of classes at Max the Mutt. And for whatever reason, for about a year that I came back, I taught about 20 years ago, and I came back and taught for night courses and summer classes and camps and stuff like that. We would get people that were neurodivergent with either autism or Asperger's or somewhere on the spectrum. There'd usually be a handful of students that qualified as that. And we were hiring an actress to play Philippa, and we were trying to get there's a lot of unique characters in Hop. We were trying to get people that had those attributes, not just plain ordinary actors. So is our pool of actors was very small, but I'd worked on another show before where we were trying to find authentic voices for a different show. One had to have a French accent, one had to have a Spanish accent. So it was taking a while, but I told the creators of the show, Mark Brown and Tolan, it's like, it's going to take a while, but when we find them, they're going to be amazing. And that's what happened with the cast of this show. It took a while to find the right people. I think Charlotte, we found Charlotte just prior to the first recording. So she sent in a demo tape, and it was great. But I didn't know whether or not she had acted before. And I'd worked on another show where we had youngish actors coming in. And, you know, you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes I get distracted. But and Charlotte was scheduled for the end of the day. We had a bunch of seasoned professionals coming in, and they're taking some time to find their voice and such. And then Charlotte came in at the end of the day, and it was a very long day. And I was sitting there going, oh, I wonder if she's going to do it. And she nailed it. She hit it out of the park. Basically, all her take ones were perfect. She came super prepared. It was just so beautiful. I was, you know, we're on Zoom. Our cameras are off. And I'm sitting here in tears because it's like, yeah, Charlotte, she did it. And it's like, that was like, oh, it was amazing. I was so excited. And she was bringing in improv. She was just so prepared. And she's like perfect as the character. Like, we're so blessed with our cast. Like, everybody we got for all the actors in the show is just like, yep, that's Philippa. Yep, that's Penny. Yep, that's Hop.
Yeah. Peter Hirsch and I have been friends for like 5, 6 years, and he told me about Hop when he was first developing it with Mark and Tolan. And he basically said to me, you out of all people are going to resonate with this, because we talk about disability inclusion and diversity in our conversations already. So this the show checked all the boxes for me, and it's super special. So, for David and Charlotte, I want to talk to you about the first time you met Mark and your exposure to his work prior to Hop, because I would have freaked out.
So, yeah, I've seen quite a few episodes of Arthur on TV as a kid. And I've also read a few Arthur books as a kid. And when I saw the drawing of Philippa before I actually voiced her, I noticed the art style looked a little familiar.
Yeah.
And when I you finally got to my voice acting session and I saw Mark, I was like, of course. And I asked him if he was the Mark Brown. He was.
He was. And he's incredibly special. And the fact this is such a nice continuation after the capping off of Arthur for 25 years. It's just an extension to what he's been doing for decades. Great.
Yeah, well, my story is that they were very kind of down low about the project when they were searching for my experience of it anyway. They were like, it's a story about, inclusion. And so they didn't mention any names. They didn't mention any creators' names. We got sides of to audition with, but again, still no authors are listed. Very kind of, secretive, I guess. And so I arrived for my first day and I was in the studio and there's a big screen and I was getting ready and they did the testing and still no one was on the screen. It was just a logo. And then I was like, okay, well, here we go. And then up came the faces and the names because it was zoomed, much like we're on right now. And you could see the names. And I mean, the thing about Mark Brown is that it's Mark with a C. Right. And so it's so distinctive in my mind as someone who loves Arthur, who's always loved Arthur and everything Arthur stood for. And so I saw Mark with a C Brown, and then I saw Tolan Brown, Peter Hirsch, Bruce Simpson. I started sweating so profusely. I remember the small of my back was soaking wet because all the pieces were falling into place, like Charlotte said, about like, wait a minute. And I couldn't check my phone. So anyway, I finished the session, ran to the car and started Googling those names. And lo and behold, came to find out that I was in the presence of animation royalty and just flew home that day. I just couldn't believe my luck that I got to work with such incredible forces in people who change history. You know, they're history makers.
And this is no exception to the rule. I was telling Mark like months ago, like November, that this show is gonna change everyone's perspective, especially for young kids. They're hopefully no longer going to be afraid to ask questions when they see somebody different on the street or wherever they are. And that is so important.
And I think you mentioned, Bob, on your last podcast that this is going to be a catalyst to conversations with the parents, that not only will the child have their experience of the show, but if the parent watches with them, then the show will be over and they'll go to the park and they'll see someone and the parent can engage child in a conversation about, oh, look, that person's like Philippa or like Hop, or do you know what I mean? All of a sudden it gives this really like important parenting tool for parents to be able to refer to someone that the kid already knows and loves through the screen into their real life. So I agree with you that it's going to change the game.
Because if it does, there will be more like it, because what happens, no offense, but what happens when we do get a show like us or with people like us, it lasts a little bit, then it goes away, and then it's like, oh, well, that was nice. We had our moment, and then we wait for the next thing. I don't see that happening with this. I see this going on forever because the stories are evergreen. It's not dated. It's not, there's no, like, Philip is not playing on a cell phone using a VR headset. It's just evergreen stuff that kids go through.
That was one of the early discussions we had about the characters, because we have several unique characters and we're wondering how much of the script should be about what makes them unique. And it was discussed that basically they're a bunch of kids. They hang out together. They do fun stuff. They go on adventures. They create things. They have challenges. But we don't focus entirely on that. Just like if you're hanging out with your friends, you don't focus on the differences. You're just having fun. And it's always present. We have a consulting company called Respectability that'll read our scripts and they'll give us feedback and say certain things. Like, for instance, Hop in the very first episode, he goes to visit Philippa and they mention, oh, if he's climbing a ladder, Philippa lives in a cool treehouse, by the way. If he's climbing a ladder, he might have to, you know, take a bit of extra time because he's not used to it, because Hop has one leg shorter than the other. I mean, if he's at home in his houseboat or his diner, he can zip around no problem. But like if something's new to him, he might have to lift his leg up and place it on the first rung and take a little bit of extra time. They pointed out if there's any chases, because there's lots of action in the show, that Hop is pretty good for the first little bit, but he might start to lag behind. So we were very, very aware of certain things that we should do with the characters, just to sprinkle in a little bit of their character, just to make them a little interesting. And every once in a while, we'll have a story where we will focus on something that sets them apart.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they're just all hanging around, being kids.
Not to spoil too much, but the episode is available now. There's an episode where Philippa is overstimulated.
That's the one that I saw as the pilot. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, they're talking about that.
Me too. I was like, whoa. This is crazy, because when it is talked about, it's almost seen as not a bad thing, but it adds more, oh, this is so different, what do we do? No, it just exists. So, Charlotte, when you read a script like that, what are you thinking? Because you go through that.
Well, I pretend that, I see Philippa. I see her lips mouthing what I am about to say.
But do you relate it to your own experiences of what you've gone through in your life?
Absolutely. Even when something is even slightly loud, I get extremely overwhelmed, and there are some noises that aren't even loud that I'm still sensitive to.
And the fact that it is spoken about on the show and it's highlighted in such a way where it's brought up, but the audience probably won't recognize it as that's what you're doing. But when I saw it, I was like, they're going there right now? I can't believe that.
I can imagine looking at seeing a future generation of children wearing shirts depicting the Hop characters, including Philippa.
I saw the promo reel and I saw the Hop t-shirt that David had on. I was like, I'm jealous, I want one. I asked Mark, I'm like, where can I get one?
Yeah, seeing a kid wearing a Philippa shirt will help remind me that they love me.
Better yet, what's it going to be like for you guys the day when you see a kid on the street holding a doll or holding a figurine of Hop or Philip. That's going to be a moment. If that ever happens, you guys are going to freak out. For sure.
Yeah. But the good kind of freak out, right?
We love that. Yes. We have to clarify which one.
I've worked on a few shows before, and I've noticed you've spoken to a lot of people in the animation industry, Bob. So I'm not sure if they mentioned that usually there's a lot of work involved. So I'm just working away. And, you know, usually in animation, it takes at least a year or two before something to come out. So by that point, I've moved on to another project. But every once in a while, I get an email from somebody saying, oh, I really love this thing that you worked on. Is there any way you can send me anything or tell me any stories or stuff like that? Oh, or the best one, I remember making, I was working in video games for a while for online video games. And I saw a lady had made a birthday cake for her son that was decorated with the characters from the video game. This is his favorite game. He plays it all the time. It's like, wow, people are actually watching things that I do. That's crazy. And not just that, liking it.
It's because, you know this, we all latch on to our favorite characters, but I feel like people that are a little different latch on to these characters a tad bit more because we see ourselves in them so deeply that we are them. And I bet, David, for you, seeing Hop kind of mirror what you go through day to day is got to be somewhat like emotional for you. Like you're giving your truth to this character.
I am gratefully doing that. Yes. And as you've spoken about before, Bob, there is such little representation. And when I was growing up in the early 1700s, there was no representation, like zero. You know, we had Captain Hook as kind of our only amputee on the screen. So the fact that, you know, this generation of kids is going to have not only people that are every shape, size, color, ability up there, but that the stories don't revolve around that or aren't written to solicit inspiration is, I think, one of the things I'm most excited about, that these characters just happen to have about them.
That's, you know, what I always say. They just they just exist.
Yeah, it's just a by the way, which is my life, which is Charlotte's life. Like, this isn't, you know, this, I don't want to speak for you, Charlotte, but like...
And, you know, what is my life too? I go through it too. Like, oh yeah, by the way, I have cerebral palsy. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's just a by the way. It's not the thing that, you know, drives us or that we think about when we wake up in the morning necessarily, or that, you know, is our like... It just is. And that's what this show, that's what they've done with Hop. That's what, you know, all these brilliant minds have come together to hold up a lens into a world where everyone can just, with humor and heart, learn about themselves in the world, which I guess is empathy, right? I guess that's what that is.
Yeah, being empathetic and being accepting and being adaptation is a big part of this show too. Adapting to your surroundings, adapting to people's needs. It covers a lot of stuff. So now, I don't want to embarrass the three of you here, but is there a funny moment from the recording sessions of Hop that you would love to share?
Well, when I was recording one of the episodes, I finally got to speak a line that I really wanted to say for a while. This was during the improvisation. But do you know what this line was?
What?
Oh, poodles.
Amazing. Well, that's improv for you.
Yep. And thanks to me, a future generation of children will be saying that.
I'm going to put that in my vernacular now. I'm going to start saying that. David, for you, any fun moments stand out?
Yeah, we took about a year to record all of it. And around the holidays, I remember an episode came out that I don't want to give a spoiler about, but you know, I don't want to mislead people into thinking that this show is just about disability. And
no, it's just there. It's,
you know what there. I mean? It's a part of their world, but they have done some storylines about intersectionality of, like, you can be this and have this other struggle, have this other problem come up in your life that your friends are going to help you through. And there's an episode about dragons. May I say that? Am I allowed to say that, Bruce?
Sure, go ahead. I saw the episode.
I won't give too much away, but there's an episode about dragons in which these characters support each other in ways that I think, like in the moment, I remember reading the script before I got to the reading, before I got to the recording, and I was really emotional. And when I got to say the words and represent a character that is supporting his friends in such a profound way of acceptance, I started to cry. I just thought some, and you know what? What is success? Like, is it more than one kid? Like, if one kid sees this and, and behaves differently as a result of seeing this story about dragons and princesses and princes and whatever all that means, if they treat each other, if one kid treats somebody better because of the work and the, you know, brilliant minds that went into doing all this, it's worth it, you know? And it just kind of caught me. We had to stop. And even retelling the story, I get a little choked up because there's such power in media and such power, and especially, you know, getting preschoolers on board with supportive families that it just felt really overwhelmingly, it felt like all everything that I had gone through in my life made sense in that moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, all the struggle, all the whatever, I was like, oh, all roads led to this episode.
Yeah, this is why I'm here. This is what I'm here to do. And this is why.
Exactly, yeah.
I think I know the episode that David's mentioning, and it came early on, but it was like, at the time, everybody thought, oh, this is our favorite episode. But the great thing about the show was, like, that came out, and for a little while, it's like, oh, that's my favorite episode. And then we do a few more and be like, oh no, this one's my favorite episode.
Do you want to know what mine is?
Yes, please.
What?
It is Philippa Flies. Because that's the first one I saw.
Oh, cool.
That's the one that introduced me to the world of Hop. There's no better episode to introduce. Yeah.
That was a fun one. Charlotte got to scream a lot during that episode.
Yes, recording Philippa was a blast.
It was fun directing that too. It's like, okay, scream, Charlotte, and Charlotte would scream. It's like, now scream like you're spinning in a barrel. Oh, it reminds me, one of my favorite times in the recording studio. I was only there for the first few weeks, and then after all the actors just were solidly their characters, like, I'm not needed here anymore. I'll let Mark have fun. Early on, Charlotte came in. I'm not sure if it was second or third, but Charlotte had come in for a few recordings, and she brought her little sister in. And I think just for fun, you know, we put Charlotte's little sister in front of the microphone, and she started making some fun sounds. And then we got a great idea. Oh, can you squawk like a bird? And can you make sort of like a cat bird, like a meow? And then we had her do a few more things. And then we had a script that there's a character that's sort of a undefined, cute little lizard bird, fire breathing thing.
Pterodactyl?
Yeah. It went through a whole, it was a pterodactyl at one point. Now it's just sort of like, Terry is Terry. And it's like, oh, let's get Charlotte's sister to record some squawking so we can, you know, place it in as a temporary thing.
It's your family affair.
And then we loved it. And it's like, oh, let's get her back. And then we spent like a whole hour making a library of Terry sounds. It's like, okay, squawk like you're hungry. Now squawk like you're sad. Squawk like you're, you know, sleeping. Do some Terry snoring. It's just like, it was so much fun. It's like directing. Is your sister Charlotte?
My brother. His name is Fee.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yep.
Yeah. I love voicing Philippa. It felt great to be working with the creator of the longest running animated kids show, but since the show ended, I'm pretty sure SpongeBob's gonna beat it.
Yeah, that show's never ending. So, David, I've done my research on you, and I might jog some memories a little bit for you. What is your connection to the Doodlebobs?
Well, full circle, a story to hop, actually. I was the choreographer of the Doodlebops and then became the director and choreographer of that show. And it was Marlene Schmidt who worked on the Doodlebops, and Cheryl Hansen, who both now work for Epic Story Media. I met them originally through the Doodlebops because they worked for CBC in Canada. And hadn't spoken to either of them since the Doodlebops until now, except for I did a show for the WARAMPS. The WARAMPS of Canada is an organization that takes care of child amputees. And I did a benefit concert for them that Marlene came to support. And jogged her memory about the fact that I, you know, do this because I was on the creative team of the Doodlebops. That is kind of, I think, what led to her reaching out.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I saw that. Like, I got to bring this up because it is so weird and so quirky and so fun. I loved it.
Yeah, it's the gift that keeps on giving for sure.
Something that I really admired and really loved about the show was how you all sound. Like, you are just, you're not phoning any of this in. You're not over, like, some people just go in front of a microphone and they overact. No, it's real authentic, like, scripting and voice acting. What was the biggest learning, if there was any? What did you have to learn during the process of voicing these characters? Because Hop is a totally new show and you're building the world a little bit. So what were some of the do's and don'ts that you put on yourself, if any, while voicing these characters? And Bruce, for you directing these characters, how did you navigate that?
Well, I think during the first voice record, there's a number of people in the room that come in with their ideas of how each character should sound. And also the actors come to the table. Usually if they make it to the voice record, we really like what they've done in their demo take. And it's just a matter of honing it at that point. Just as an example, I think our actor, Misha Bakshi, who plays Penny, who I love, is one of my favorite characters in the show. We got her demo and it's like, oh, this, she sounds great. Let's get her in. And I think like in between the takes, like day one, the voice recorded, everybody's, doing different things. I think in between the takes, she was Penny. She was so excited. She was just like talking so quickly. She was just stumbling all over words. She was so excited to see Mark Brown. She was like really, really excited and so much energy. And then we go, okay, let's take a take. And then I think drama school kicked in and she was doing what I think she would thought we want. And I was like, no, no, no. We love you. You are Penny. Just be you. And as soon as she just got really comfortable in front of the microphone and brought all that energy that she has, like normally, it's like, oh, it's perfect. We've just got a perfect character. And it's like, I love every shot where Penny's in. She just brings so much energy there. She's such a fun character.
Another interesting thing to note is that Penny is non-binary and goes by they, them.
That's true.
I have to watch again. That can another reason why this show is so important. It's just letting everybody feel seen without letting the audience know that you're doing that, you know?
We get little hints, like with Penny, we were very careful in the scripts to say they, them. And anytime we said she and her, we replaced it. Just little hints. We have another character, Frida, who's blind, but she's a very cool character. And we just give little hints about who she is, as opposed to saying, oh, here is this character and this is what she's all about. It's like, that's not the main thing about her. She's like a musician. She wants a flower shop. But there's like little things in the animation that we wanted to include. My wife's in social work. In one of her master class, she had a number of visually impaired or blind students with her. She did a lot of volunteer work and where she was working with this one lady. This is like a long time ago before there's all this apparatus that reads your mail and does all this other stuff. And she became very close with her, and I went to her wedding, and most of the people there were from the blind community, the visually impaired community. So there's certain visual things that we added to the animation. When Frida is walking around her store, but we don't come out and go, okay, this is what this character is all about. So no, she's just a cool character.
This person is blind, you know, like that. It's sort of like, oh yeah, just in case you notice something different, this is why.
Yes, but this character is blind would make the character sound too one-dimensional.
Exactly. I'm going to constantly sing your praises in this episode, because when I watched it, I just felt like at home while watching it, and I wish I had it when I was younger.
Yes, if I were four again, I would have loved to watch Hop. Hop to me feels like a mix of Arthur and Busy Town, which makes sense since all three shows are set in a world populated by anthropomorphic animals.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I can totally see that.
Bob, back to your question about the finding the voices. I have to shout out to Susan Hart, who's our voice director, and she was on every second of every call with Mark. And so I know Mark shared on his last podcast that he wasn't allowed in the recording sessions of Arthur, but that he was present for every single frame of the recordings of this. And so to have that kind of security behind you to just kind of gently guide, try this, try that, how about this, how about that, in their care with such, you know, and then you bring your lived experience to the feelings, like it's a feelings show. It's about, for those who haven't seen it, it's about feelings, and it's about being okay to have feelings, and that you don't have to. Every ending isn't happy, you know, because that's not real life.
That's what I brought up. I said, not everything has a big red bow on it at the end.
Mm. Well put, yeah.
Everything is, let's all sing together and, you know, smile. Like, things happen. And it's okay to feel feelings. It's okay to feel sad, feel upset, feel overwhelmed, feel overstimulated. All these things are valid. And it's extremely valid in the world of hop.
Totally. I remember when I got my audition sides, like when they sent me the words that I had to audition with, Hop said something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, of, Benny, are you okay? Because it's okay if you're not. And if you don't want to talk about it, fine, but I'm going to sit here anyway. And I just thought, like, I have to be part of this show. Like, I read that email and I was like, I have to be involved in this. If this is what they're telling preschoolers, it's okay to be and do, then I got very, very invested in that single line of text.
I think that was developed into a full episode where Hop is depressed. And again,
I don't think that one's out yet, but I can't wait to hear it.
It's another one of those, every couple episodes, oh, this is my favorite one. And I really latched onto that one because the beautiful way it was depicted. And there's a lot of depression in my family and people I know. And it's like, oh, we're talking about this. This is great. And all his friends have all these solutions, which people always try to do. But there's no real simple solutions. But it's just the fact that he had friends around him that cared enough helps a little. And it's like, oh, this is just a... And it's... the way I'm describing it, I'm pointing out the heart of the show. However, there's a lot of comedy in the show as well. And it's fun, but also it's sometimes it's a little... serious, and it really hits you, and it makes you remember this. It's just, I don't know, it's just a really special show that I'm working on, that we're all working on.
And I feel like by extension, just by talking to you all about it, I'm part of it too, just because of how I was such a big advocate for it when Mark told me about it. And now we're sitting here talking right now. It's cool how that works out.
It's so good to hear.
It's really special to me. So, I always ask the hard-hitting questions here. So, if you were to be best friends with a Hop character, aside from your own, except for Bruce, because I don't think you're a character yet. Maybe in the next couple episodes they'll give you a character. But what character would be your best friend aside from your own if you met them in person? Like, if you went to Fair Village and you met everybody.
I'd say Benny. He's just cute and funny.
Yeah. For me, probably because I'm creative, and it's a toss up between Hop and Philippa, honestly. Not just because you both are here, but I really think that I resonated with you, your characters, the most, for sure. David, what do you think?
I plead the fifth. There's no way you can make me pick Bob. It's like picking a favorite child.
I'm
like,
going to. We're not getting off this call until you do.
Then I listen. Like, do you choose your sister? Like, you know, I'm in love with. I love. You know, because I think the other beautiful thing about the show is that we're all a little bit of all of these people. You know what I mean? We don't have to like identify with like, I'm this. Like, I can be a little bit
who, no, yeah,
and a little bit Benny, and in moments I'm a little bit.
No, I wish I was everybody, but if I were to choose to be you guys.
Well, that's sweet. I think Philip is incredible. I just think she's amazing. And I know we would be friends.
I love that. So when we got on here, all of you said that you were fans of the show and diving in. I kind of want to know your thoughts on what we do here. We're just meeting for the first time, but what do you guys enjoy about it? I'm always interested to hear thoughts and feedback and whatnot.
Well, I just think you're breaking the mold. Like you yourself are kind of shattering the ceiling of representation in the media, and you don't it's not your leading card, you know, like it just is. Like you're good at your job. You do your research, you do your homework, you ask the right questions, you make it comfortable and not in any way ever awkward for your guests or anything that feels, you know, forced. And so that's what I love about listening to what you're up to is that you forget. And that's, I think, what you do with Hop too. Like a few minutes in, you forget what's making us different.
Yeah.
And remembering what's making us the same. And that's what when I listen to your podcast, Bob, that's what I hear. I forget that there's anything different, I'm making air quotes, about you.
We're all going to keep in touch after this if you guys are down to do that, because I would love to talk more just about other stuff too, because this has been wonderful. And Bruce, anything that you like to add to that? Because I know you were listening all week, binging.
Yeah, I was listening to one of your podcasts earlier, and I came across something you said that I thought that was very neat. That you said that you had, at one point you said, I had the good fortune of being in a wheelchair, because then I was able to do all this creative stuff that all this time allowed me to do. And it reminded me of, like, I used to read a lot of biographies of musicians and children's book writers and comedy writers and movie people and actors and stuff like that. And it seemed like early in their childhood, at some point, they would say, oh, I got sick for a year and I was stuck in bed and all I could do was draw and write stories. Or, oh, this happened to me and I had to stay away from all my friends and all I could do was this, this, and this. And I just found it was a very neat perspective, because it's like, yeah, certain challenges come up in life.
I'm grateful for it, honestly, because who knows what world I would be in otherwise. Like I have two older sisters, and when they were out, you know, with their friends doing whatever they did, I was just on the computer learning how to do all this stuff, and now I'm 14 years into it. So it's a crazy thing. And I'm so grateful that you latched onto it. And on that note, what is the most difficult and the most rewarding part for you all about being a creative person? Because not only are you working on the show, but you have your own endeavors. Charlotte, you have your own art that you do. So what? For all of you, what is the most difficult part and the most rewarding part about being a creative person?
Well, I'd say the most difficult part is, creating something that pleases myself.
Yeah, because you don't want to just create just to please somebody else. You want to make sure that you're fulfilled as well.
Yes. And as for rewarding, the rewarding part is when I finally finish it and I'm satisfied with it.
That's always the end goal.
Yep.
Always. No matter what. Lane you're in, no matter what medium you're speaking about, it's still the end goal. Is once you've done it, it's so rewarding. Like for David and Bruce, what is your take on the question? Because you guys have worked in so many facets of media that you might have different answers.
You want to go first, David?
Sure. I would say the challenge is how personal it all is, that we're not creating I don't want to compare it to another sector, but it's not something you can leave in an office at 5 o'clock. You can't walk away from a creative life. You're constantly being influenced by, you know, I'm a different person today than I was this morning because stuff has happened and it kind of influences the art. It influences your perspective and hopefully for the better, but not always. And when you're working on something artistic or creative, it's obsessive. I'll speak for myself and to just say that, you know, you just lie awake at night thinking how I could have done that better, or how I can improve the plan for tomorrow. Or so it's a bit, balance is challenging to find, but that actually leads to the reward. Because when it works and when something like this happens and the magical whatever that is in the universe that brings the right people together at exactly the right time in space and history, and like the world wasn't ready for hop before COVID. That's what I think. I think if hop had come before COVID, it probably wouldn't have as strong a chance as it has.
Because I feel like COVID opened people up. Emotionally, it made them feel more, it made them appreciate people more and differences more and stillness more,
and just the universality of it, right? Like it bonded us, although it was through this tragic circumstance. It made us all realize that at the core we are way more the same than we are different. And I think that's such a big part of this series that it's landing at precisely the right time. And so that's the reward, is that after all that, obsessive, compulsive, rigor, I guess, as you said, if somebody walks out in a Halloween costume dressed as Hop, then you know we've made it. We've done. or has a doll, or has a T-shirt, or a baseball hat. Then it's worth it. Then it's worth it. I wouldn't change a thing. No regrets.
And Bruce, for you, you creative process. Come on.
I'm of two minds because I've done my own personal projects, and I've also worked, like for example, on Hop as the director. And just to speak to that, the challenge with Hop is you have an army of creatives everywhere all over the North America working on this. I think halfway through the process, there's 52 episodes. We brought on another director, Terry Sajecki, who I've worked with multiple times in the past. Fortunately, she was available because this is like running a marathon. And I was running out of a bit of steam, so I need some help. So she's directed a number of the back half episodes as well. But it's just the amount of hours involved in animation, the amount of people involved in it, and just seeing it go from like a little inkling of an idea during the or treatment of the script writing process, like, well, why don't we do this? And it's like, and then everybody throws in their ideas and things develop that way. And then it goes to the final script and then the animatic. And then that's a process, making like a little pose by pose, essentially film. And then seeing it come to life in animation with the prop departments and the background departments and the character designers and the animators, and just, you know, things can, I always say in animation, a million things can go wrong. So if like 100 things go wrong, you're doing okay. And then just the process takes so long. Like it just launched on the HBO Max this month. We've been working on this for over 2 years, and Mark and Tolan and Peter for much, much longer than that. You have to be really patient to see your dream come alive. And I know when I work on my projects, I've done a number of short films, which is basically what you can do if you're one person, short films. But it's really exciting to see it if it's at a film festival and the places you want people to laugh, they laugh. and some places that you don't expect that much laughter is the hardest laughter. That's like really rewarding. You don't often get that in television, but I think one of the most fun processes is just when we're finalizing each episode, all the animation is done and it's beautiful. All the soundtracks done by a company in Toronto called Eggplant. And it's just like,
I basically complimented Tolan about that. And he's like, thank you. Because animated shows often, they don't have the full level of scoring that Hop does.
Oh, and it was so much fun to direct, not just myself, but like, initially Mark and Tolan came in and Peter, and it's like, I think the initial idea was, I think Mark had seen some street drummers playing Tupperware or big plastic tubs, and it's like, can we get something like that? And that went on to, oh, and can we get, like, you know, sort of Tom Waits-esque music where he's just beating on furniture and hitting old farm equipment. And it's like, oh, maybe we could do this too. So basically a lot of kids shows have very similar scores, but it was so much fun to say, ask the Eggplant. Oh, there's this one episode where Jinx, he's a robotic car, has a temper tantrum. And so he's like honking his horn and waving his robotic arms. And I was able to find a clip from Sun Ra and his orchestra from like 70s, which was a very avant-garde jazz band. And said, oh, can you make it sort of like this NPR clip of them just playing random noise with an entire horn section?
Because you can, and you're welcome to be weird and be eccentric and be offbeat, because that's what Hop is.
Exactly. It's got to be very unique. And also one other thing, I really, really loved early Sesame Street because the people working on that show, the writers, the Muppeteers, they were basically making an educational show first and foremost, but it also had to be entertaining. And not just entertaining to the age group, entertaining to the age group plus the parents. Because one of the things that they studied and found out is if parents watch the show with their kids, they'll discuss it afterwards and the kids will get much, much more out of it. So that was one thing that we were trying to do as well. Make it enjoyable for a preschool audience, but also fun for an older audience too.
So, as we wrap up, I've got a couple more questions, if that's okay with all of you. Let's say, years down the line, you're putting Hop in a time capsule for children's TV, right? How do you want it to be represented? What themes do you want it to be remembered for?
Well, myself personally, I just, again, I'm biased. But when I first saw the first episode, it's like, I'm in. It's like, I just love the idea of the cast. I love the idea of the topics. I also love the idea that it's a fun, entertaining show with really great characters that aren't defined by one word. And like when I grew up and you'd see representation on television, it was always, this is a very special episode, one amongst 26. Whereas this is 52 episodes with a number of characters you don't normally see on television. And I think it's first and foremost, that alone is great. I hope the show is entertaining to the people that watch it. And I think it's also very important because in some states, you're not even allowed to talk about certain things in school anymore. So I think our show being on the air is very important, I feel. And also, it's a lot of fun too.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really fun show.
It is. And Charlotte, you know, this is your first voiceover role. So what do you want this show to be remembered for? What part of this do you want this to be in part of children's lives, like shows that you grew up with are in your life?
Well, I grew up with the Backyardigans and Dragon Tales and Clifford. And but what I want Hop to be remembered for is just the cast of quirky, likable characters.
Yes, and that is some, even you don't even have to hear them speak or see them move. Just see a visual of them and you just fall in love with them instantly.
Exactly.
And that is something that I latch on to. But David, what do you think?
Well, I think it's 2024. You know? We live in 2024 and we need the people on stages and screens to represent the people who are watching them if we have any hope of evolution. If we have any hope that we're going to invite new people into our, you know, spaces, we need them to be able to point up on stage and say, there I am, you know, or point on screen and say, there I am. And that's what's going to evolve the art form. That's what's going to evolve entertainment. Otherwise, we're stuck. We're stuck with the same people and in decision-making positions, because there's no reason for anybody else to go through the effort to get at those tables. So I know that's probably heady for a preschool show, but that's what I see this being. And that's
no, because this will, like, a kid will grow up from seeing this and be like, remember this show I saw as a kid? That,
well, it's going to give them the courage. It'll give them the sense of belonging they need to take the risk to become the leader.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, there. I mean, if we're talking particularly in the disabled community, there aren't. I mean, I can give you stats, but I won't, about the number of visibly and, you know, we're talking about visible disability and invisible disability, and how many of those people are in decision making positions in, you know, in our industry. There are very, very few. So if this show, it ignites a flame that you can be any size, shape, color, with feathers or scales or fins, whatever it is, you have a place at the diner, you know?
I've been doing this podcast for 14 years, and I've done so many interviews about so many different types of shows. I've promoted many different projects, but working on this has been such a joy. And between talking to Mark and Peter and Tolan, and now talking to you, this show will forever be associated with this time. And I can remember that I was part of this with you guys. And this is super special to me. I hope that doesn't sound self-indulgent, but it's true.
Yeah. Can I tell you another thing I love about Hop?
Of course. Yes.
The diversity between species. Like,
yes.
Yeah, like Hop and Penny are amphibians. Benny is a reptile. Hoot's a bird. And Philippa and Alfred are mammals.
I just love how everyone is included. But seriously, thank you so much for joining me. All of you today, and I hope people check out this show on Mac, streaming now with more to come.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
Thanks for hanging out with us at the DJ Bob Show. If you liked this episode, drop us a line at djbobrunkel@gmail.com. That's djbobrunkel@gmail.com. Let us know what you liked most about this episode, and what other guests we should have on the DJ Bob Show. Thanks so much again for hanging out with us. This is Nate Beagle, your humble announcer.